Now the fun begins.
Bridget.
Stop! You violated the law.
Welcome back to another episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and of course PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around them damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So, of course, be sure to subscribe, just rate us and review us. All that jazz wherever you get a podcast at. Go and interact with us. And if we're not on a platform that you have or that you use, go to whatever, you know what I mean, let me know. I'll get us on there. And, of course, follow us on Twitter at GPGCPodcast to stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games alike, and our dope giveaways. I'm your host, as always, Travis White, a.k.a. Travless on most internet platforms. Joining me is my partner in crime, Mike Peapack. Mike, my friend, what is good? What is going on? Haven't talked to you in a few days. Well, I mean, we talk in our group chats and stuff like that, but normally we've played games together at this point in the week, and we haven't this week yet. So catch me up. What have you been playing this past week? What's been kind of going on with your gaming life?
Yeah, definitely been a crazy week or so. I know you're kind of getting ready to go on a huge trip, so there's a lot that I'm sure you're doing there. And for me, I've just been playing pretty much a pretty steady diet of Valorant the past few days, kind of reluctantly, but it's been an okay experience, all things considered, I guess. And then also I've been mixing a little bit of Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition in there again, just here and there, a couple games. And then actually mixed in a couple of games of Dead by Daylight here recently. So I've had a little bit of a mixed bag here, but...
Well, yeah, that is true. We did play that on Friday for a little bit.
Yeah, my heavy rotation's been Valorant, though.
Yeah. And whenever you're saying that reluctantly, I just, like, imagine the episode of fucking WWF Raw back in the day where Vince McMahon arrests Stone Cold and they're, like, taking him out. He's like, get that son of a bitch out of here. Like, God damn it. Not again.
Literally.
Just, I ain't done with you, Vince. I ain't done with you by long shot. No, but that's good. Yeah, it's kind of been one of those weeks that, like, almost status quo, I feel like, outside of, like, obviously us booting up Dead by Daylight, playing with one of our friends, to Cody, and trying it out. But, like, instantly us having that, like, bug a little bit of, like, oh, yeah, let's jump in. I haven't played Dead by Daylight in a while. And then, like 20 minutes into it, we're like, ah, that's why. Ah, yes. Yes, that is why we haven't played that
in a while. This is why we don't play this game.
Yeah. But, no, it was, in a roundabout way, it was kind of nice to get back to it and play something different and kind of take a break from. I know we've been kind of grinding out like Left 4 Dead 2 recently and stuff like that, so it's been kind of a little bit of a nice break to get in there, but we'll have to see what kind of comes along. What we're gonna play this week, because I'm sure there'll be some stuff. I'd like to play some stuff before I leave on the trip, like you were saying, finally going on the honeymoon. I got married in October of last year, as you know, a lot of listeners know and whatnot. But fun fact, my wife's a teacher, so we can't go anywhere pretty much during the year unless it's, like, you know, kind of weekend trips or something like that. And where we're going, which is, like, Iceland and Northern Ireland, Ireland, the UK in general, a lot of places, London, you know, kind of all around that area on a cruise, we can't do that in a weekend. So we had to wait till this summer to go and do that. So exciting stuff. But I'm really excited to really kind of dig in deep. Like, there's been games, Mike, that I've been, like, putting off playing because, like, I'm like, no, this is going to be perfect for all the fucking flights we have to take. Like, I can now play on my Steam Deck, you know, stuff like that. Like, Stray's one of those that I've been, like, very much, like, holding my tongue. Like, I've been restraining myself. Like, don't buy this yet. Do not buy this yet. Like, you're not going to play it for a while, so there's no need to spend the money on it right now. But I've been wanting to play that, and I've been like, no, that's going to be a perfect, it's like 5 hours or 4 hours, something like that. That's a perfect plane game to get on there. Well, you know, that'll be a nice one to knock out in our like first, like we have a flight from Pittsburgh to Newark and then Newark to Reykjavik. But the one from Reykjavik's technically overnight, but we're going to lose 5 hours because we jump ahead 5 hours getting there. So like, while it'll be like 7 a.m. there when we land, it'll be like, really, our bodies are just accustomed to, it'd be like 2 a.m. pretty much. But that'll be like a perfect like game to play, like while we're kind of like killing time on the plane or, you know, layovers and whatnot. So coming back, it'll be worse. We have like an 8 or 9 hour flight or something like that. So it'll be a little worse, but going there isn't too bad, since we'll be flying back from London. But yeah, there's been games I've been like putting off specifically for that I'm like, that's perfect to play on a plane. I want to have something to do. So like, I can't like go and fucking goes balls deep into all these games and stuff. So, on my end, like you mentioned, playing a little Dead by Daylight with you guys. And Molly and I did start, finally got around to it. There was one other game that I've been like primarily playing, but, which I've talked about the past couple weeks, but I'll get into that in a second. But, Molly and I finally started up, because we've been looking for something new to play, As Dusk Falls. So that's the game from Xbox that's being published by Xbox Game Studios. I can't remember the team on that. It's the very much like Telltale-esque, like choose-your-own-adventure style game. Interior Night is the developer on that. Indie project. It's only about like 5 or 6 hours long, multiple chapters, very much very Telltale like, but it has the almost, it's like, I almost want to describe it as like watercolor painting-esque like scenes. It's like stop motion in a way. Like, it's really fascinating. The art's really, really interesting and really great. But it's definitely like, it takes a second to kind of get used to. Like, at first playing it, I was like, I don't know if I like this art style. Like, I can appreciate it. Like, it's very, the artist who took the time to probably in some fashion handcraft this, you know, whether it's not actually, I'm sure they're using a, you know, a digital stylus and things like that to make this, but like to handcraft these is very, very impressive. The detail on a lot of these environments and characters and things like that are really, really incredible. And it uses, 3D for the environments as well in some sections, so it's kind of this weird like blend of it a little bit, but it works. At first I wasn't crazy about it, but like overall it really, I think, really works. But I'm really, really enjoying it. I think if anybody has ever had an interest in Telltale games, or like games in the vein of from Don't Nod, like Life is Strange or Tell Me Why, things like that that are really kind of these choose your own adventure, you got to weigh decisions and, you know, almost like butterfly effect games. You'd really, really like this. I really dig the cast of characters. They all have really unique and interesting, kind of like tonal presences in the game. And it really, really, I think, is a standout game so far from, and really kind of like, this nice, almost, sure, it's not a blockbuster title that we're getting from Xbox Game Studios, but it is one that I think critically stands on its own. That, at least so far, obviously, we're about halfway through it, but from what I've played of it and from what, you know, obviously so many other people have experienced with it in the media, that a lot have said, hey, this is a nice kind of like, yeah, it sucks right now with the delay of Starfield and Redfall and, you know, kind of shifting dates around with Xbox Game Studios. This is a great, hey, we know this isn't what you've, you know, we know that you're expecting the big quadruple A titles that we've been promising you. Hang in there a bit, you know, and we're going to give you smaller experiences like this with partner, or, you know, almost these double A partnerships that Xbox has been going out and doing for a long time, really bringing those to the forefront to say, you know, we're still going to give you these great experiences that you can get on, you know, game. This was Game Pass day one, where you don't have to, it's built into your subscription, which is great because this is a game that probably a lot of people would say, the art style's different. I don't know if I want to spend $30 on a game that, you know, is only 5 or 6 hours long, and I can't really control a lot. It's just making decisions. I don't know if that's really my kind of thing. It's more of a movie at times. Like, this, that kind of breaks it away from that. And I think these are the kind of experiences that really, really, really flourish under Xbox Game Pass. I think that's one of those perfect examples of this will bring people in and this will generate sales. Maybe not for, you know, As Dusk Falls, like, given how short it is or something. And you never know. It might on, you know, Steam or whatever, like, since it's on multiple platforms in that regard. But this is going to be one of those. This is one of those examples where Phil Spencer's talked about Game Pass helps generate sales for these titles, because it may not be exactly that title, which a lot of people have ended up, you know, doubling down and buying these titles after, even if they don't keep their Game Pass subscription or whatever. But it pushes the medium in different, you know, hey, I want to play games similar to this. Like, I'm going to go out of my way. Oh, it's not on Game Pass. You know what? I've tried it. I like that style of game. I'm going to give this a try. So far I've been really enjoying my time with the game. These are always great games to play with, you know, whether it's a significant other, group of friends, things like that. And what's nice about this is too, obviously I haven't tried it with streaming or whatnot. But it operates too in the same regard as you can, or at least you can, operate it in the same way as like the Jackbox games, where you can send out a code that people can get on their phone and boom, pull it up, and you can all vote on questions or responses to questions and prompts that come up throughout the game and make choices that way. And also too, it has a really great streamer mode that can be integrated with your Twitch channel, that you could have chat vote on things and stuff like that in, you know, in real time. So it's really, really, I think, a unique title, and one that I think will critically overall be remembered pretty well. But really, I think a unique title for Game Pass to get in there. But we've been really enjoying our time with that. We'll have to see how it ends, obviously. But so far, we really like it. And then my other thing that I mentioned, I finally wrapped up my replay of Red Dead 2, that is. But yeah, man, I think the longer I sit with this game, you know, now it's been almost 4 years since it came out, I think it still is the perfect example of when, or at least the most complete example of when people ask the question, are video games art? I think this is the perfect example that you point to somebody and say, if this isn't art, I don't know what this is. It may not be for everyone. And, you know, Mike, you're a huge fan of the first Red Dead Redemption. Second one necessarily didn't click with you as much. But I think it's one of those things that if you sit down and show somebody, it's almost inarguable that you can't say, like, what this does has pushed a medium forward, and more so blended the line between, you know, immersiveness and, you know, that concept of designing something and have somebody interpret it a certain way or interact with it. And that really, you know, art's supposed to make you question a lot of things and, you know, contemplate on it. And I think this game does that in so many really interesting ways that the longer I kind of sit with it, the more I kind of think, like, this is a game that theses should be written on for kind of those like conversation pieces that so many people bring up around gaming. I really, really think that, you know, it isn't my, it, especially that year that came out in 2018, it wasn't my game of the year, because I still think 2018 is probably the best game or year in gaming, at least modern gaming, past, you know, 10 years or so. You know, I still think it's one of those, it's not perfect. There's still some questions of, I really recommend everyone going and checking out. I always thought Nakey Jakey did a really good video on how outdated it can be at times, in terms of some of the gameplay aspects and, you know, how you, I guess, the flexibility and the bandwidth you have within missions to kind of go and do your own thing and kind of, you know, tackle things in different ways. Like, you know, Elden Ring, I can go and approach various things throughout the, you know, quest that you're on, and it doesn't have to be a complete, you know, I don't have to, or I don't have to go and just do the, you know, paint by numbers kind of approach to it, where in Red Dead, because I think that game took so long to develop, because the world is fucking immaculate and it is the, it is just like I talk about God of War. It doesn't waste a moment of your time in there. Everything that is in that world has a reason and a purpose. Because I think they took so long doing that, the missions and some of the ways that you tackle and implement gameplay elements to it really kind of took a hit. Like, you can only enter a certain way to do this, even though it says find a way to get in there. Like, so I can't go, if I need to get to this one window in this house to break in and get something, I have to specifically go up this one ladder to get there. I can't go around the house, go on top of the roof, and kind of slide my way around to avoid even remotely getting in touch with any of the enemies that I have to sneak past. You know, where most games now, you're kind of able to do that. But I still think it's just, you know, and what we'll talk about, obviously, in our main episode, or main chunk of the episode, you know, I think it was very much a bookend to a lot of Rockstar's past issues, and kind of a bookend to a certain era of Rockstar that I'm excited to see what kind of comes next with them. And we're going to actually talk about all that, like I said. But I just think that game is very special in a lot of ways, though the fucking epilogue, I still think, like, I totally forgot how long that epilogue was. I was like, oh yeah, it'll be like, you know, 2 hours or something like that. I remember it was a while, it was a little meaty, but like, no, that was another like 5 or 6 hours after the fucking game ends. Like, it was one of those things like, oh yeah, I'll beat this tonight. Like, you have a good idea in your mind of like, yeah, I'm gonna beat this probably tonight, I'll have enough time to do that. And it was like two additional nights after that I'm like, Jesus criminy, like, what the fuck, man? Like, I didn't realize it was this long. Like, I'm ready to be done. Like, it's all like pertinent stuff, like, it's good shit that I'm eating, like, I'm all good with what I'm having, but it's like, okay, I don't think do we need this much of it? Like, I don't know. It's still great though. I still had a great time with it. But but that being said, Mike, I guess I talked a fuck ton during all of that. Let's head into the main hook of our episode. And like I was saying, it kind of pertains to what I was just talking about with Rockstar and kind of what's going on with them. And on top of that, too, got some new info on GTA 6. This comes from Jason Schreier, as always, over at Bloomberg, who is one of the best names and biggest names in investigative journalism within the game space. So if you haven't checked out a lot of Jason's stuff, he's done a lot of great work over the past handful of years. We're in a couple of really great books that I recommend, Press Reset and Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. Both check those out. But if you're obviously not new to the show, you've heard us talk about him and reference him before. But did a really great piece, I believe it was yesterday, on Rockstar Games, and not only about, obviously, GTA 6 and what we're going to get into, but kind of cleaning up the boys club mentality that they kind of pointed out in what was the bane of kind of Red Dead Redemption 2's development for a lot of, you know, development staff within Rockstar that suffered because of that. And the amount of crunch that went into that and different things like that, but obviously to the more like harassment end and shit like that that needed to be cleaned up, that started to come out. It looks like, from what Jason has brought up in here, that they have actually made a lot of good changes. So, like I said, this is over in Bloomberg from Jason Schreier. Link will be in the description. Make sure to go over there and give Jason a click and Bloomberg. In the summer of 2020, after a police officer killed George Floyd, Rockstar Games quietly shelved a mode of play it had planned to release for its Grand Theft Auto Online game. Called Cops and Crooks, the mode was a twist on the children's game, where players organized into teams of good guys and bad guys, but seemed especially tone-deaf during the global reckoning over police violence. Senior executives at the company, concerned about how the narrative might be interpreted during a time of heightened skepticism and mistrust of American police, put it aside. They still haven't made plans to bring it back, according to people familiar with development. This was one of several politically sensitive actions Rockstar, the division of Take-Two Interactive Software Inc., has taken in recent years. The company removed transphobic jokes from the most recent console release of Grand Theft Auto V and significantly narrowed its gender pay gap. Rockstar's next game, Grand Theft Auto 6, will include a playable female protagonist for the first time, according to people familiar with the game. The woman, who is Latina, will be one of a pair of leading characters in a story influenced by the bank robbers Bonnie and Clyde, the people said. Developers are also being cautious not to, quote, punch down by making jokes about marginalized groups, the people said, in contrast to previous games. Moves like these once seemed unthinkable for a company whose best-selling franchise is a satirical depiction of America that involves playing gangsters who kill civilians and where women are mostly depicted as sex objects. Grand Theft Auto V was a nihilistic parody that threw insults at everything, from right-wing radio hosts, that's a tongue twister, to liberal politicians. Inside the company, the tone wasn't much different. Rockstar employees described a workplace culture full of drinking, brawling, and excursions to strip clubs. The company was an early symbol of an industry-wide problem of long hours at the office, known as crunch, in which staff were expected to be at their desks many nights and weekends in order to keep a game on schedule. That strategy was financially successful and turned Grand Theft Auto V into the second best-selling game of all time, with 165 million copies sold. It also led to burnout, attrition, and a public controversy in 2018 that prompted hundreds of Rockstar employees to speak out about the difficult work environment. Since that outcry, Rockstar has attempted to reinvent itself as a more progressive and compassionate workplace, according to interviews with more than 20 people who worked there and left recently, all of whom requested anonymity because they weren't authorized to speak publicly. One employee described it as a, quote, boys club transformed into a real company. A spokesperson for Rockstar declined to comment. Can a kinder, gentler Rockstar still produce the chart-topping caliber of game the studio has become known for? Some employees aren't sure. Morale across the company is higher than it's ever been, according to many staffers. But the development of Grand Theft Auto 6 has been slower than impatient fans and even longtime employees have expected. Much of that has to do with the pandemic, but the delay is also due to some of the changes that the company implemented in an effort to improve working conditions, such as restructuring of the design department and a pledge to keep overtime under control. Some workers say they're still trying to figure out how to make a game at this new iteration of Rockstar and wonder even what a Grand Theft Auto game looks like in today's environment. Besides, several Rockstar employees pointed out that you can't really satiricize today's America. It's already a satire itself. Between the company's new mandate and the 2019 departure of Dan Houser, who led creative direction on many previous Rockstar games, all signs suggest Grand Theft Auto 6 will feel very different than its predecessor. Rockstar Games was founded in 1998 by a handful of British game makers as a subsidiary of Take-Two. With 2001's Grand Theft Auto 3 and its sequels, the company revolutionized open-world video games and grew to employ thousands of people with offices in California, New York, across the UK, and beyond. Grand Theft Auto products accounted for 31% of Take-Two's $3.5 billion in total revenue in fiscal 2022, according to the company's filing. The studio was built on a culture of seven-day work weeks, said Jamie King, a founder who left after 8 years, but he said that sort of culture is unsustainable. Games like Red Dead Redemption and Max Payne 3 required what some employees refer to as death marches, months of mandatory 14-hour days and weekends that took a toll on employees' lives, mental health, and sometimes marriages. In October of 2018, shortly before the release of Red Dead Redemption 2, Houser, one of Rockstar's founders, said his team had been working, quote, 100-hour weeks to finish the game. The comments, which Houser later walked back, were the tipping point for many employees. Similar complaints have ripped through the industry in recent years. Game developers working at Activision Blizzard, Riot, and Ubisoft Entertainment have all criticized their employers for issues ranging from sexual discrimination to overwork. Activision Blizzard is being sued by the state of California over allegations of sexual harassment and discrimination. While those companies have acknowledged their issues and vowed to change, none has done as much in response to a worker revolt as Rockstar, according to the people at the company. The transformation of Rockstar includes changes to scheduling, converting contractors to full-time employees, and the outs of several managers that employees saw as abusive or difficult to work with. When the pandemic started, workers received care packages, cloth masks, and surprise bonuses. During the protests over the death of George Floyd, a black man who was murdered by police officers, the company said it would match donations to Black Lives Matter charities. Employees have been given new mental health and leave benefits. A new policy called Flex Time allows staff to immediately take time off for every extra hour they work. And for the past 4 years, management has promised that excessive overtime won't be required for Grand Theft Auto 6, one of the most highly anticipated games by fans and investors on the planet. Sticking to that pledge has already prompted changes to the game. Original plans for the title, which is codenamed Project Americas, were for it to be more vast than any Grand Theft Auto game to date. Early designs called for the inclusion of territories modeled after large swaths of North and South America, according to people familiar with plans. But the company reeled in those ambitions and cut the main map down to a fictional version of Miami and its surrounding areas. Rockstar's plan is now to continually update the game over time, adding new missions and cities on a regular basis, which the leadership hopes will lead to less crunch during the game's final months. Still, the game's world remains large, with more interior locations than previous Grand Theft Auto games impacting the timeline. To help avoid overtime, Rockstar has also added more producers to keep track of schedules, a move that's mostly been positive, developers said, but one that has also caused bottlenecks. Some employees said they found themselves waiting around to communicate through middlemen, or that it felt like multiple people were in charge, leaving them unsure of who to make the final call. Rockstar put in place a new management structure following the departure of former design director Imran Sarwar, who was accused by several people of bullying and verbal abuse. His position was filled by three other directors, creating what several people describe as too many cooks, a situation where design decisions are frequently left in flux or contradict one another. Some core aspects of the game, such as combat, were still going through changes even as developers expected them to be locked down, employees said. Sarwar didn't respond to a request for comment. Industry analysts anticipate the next Grand Theft Auto will be out sometime in Take-Two's 2024 fiscal year, which runs from April 2023 through March 2024, but developers are skeptical. The game has been in development in some form since 2014. Although there are loose schedules in place, people interviewed for this article said they didn't know of any firm release date and that they expect the game to be at least 2 years away. Earlier this year, a group of designers quit Rockstar Enberg's office, telling colleagues that they were sick of the lack of progress. Many others, however, say they're content to work at a company where there's little pressure to get a new game out the door. Grand Theft Auto V, which came out in 2013, is the most profitable entertainment property of all time, thanks to its multiplayer component, Grand Theft Auto Online. That unprecedented financial success has given Rockstar leeway to make sweeping changes and to take its time on the next project. And as one staff member pointed out, overhauling Rockstar's culture could help with retention and recruitment, as well as lead to games that are, quote, better for everyone working on them and presumably people playing them, too. So a whole lot of stuff, Mike. long article, but a lot of really good information in there. It's really, really fascinating to think about because I think you and I are in a really interesting position just given our age, that we've kind of seen the whole evolution of Rockstar games. We were there, like, I remember the first Grand Theft Auto and Grand Theft Auto 2 on the PS1 and thinking, like, man, these look fucking stupid. Like, very much, yeah. Like, I'm sure those who maybe play them were a little bit older than us, like, maybe your brother's age or something like that generation may have more fondness toward them. But I was like, I don't really like the top down aspect. It's kind of cheesy, yada, yada. But then we were there for when really the boom of those games with Grand Theft Auto 3 took off, and seeing that from obviously 3 to Vice City to San Andreas, and then obviously on to 4 and then 5. But kind of seeing Rockstar become this just juggernaut and really leaning into what made them so successful, which was making incredibly, even for the time, detailed, and not necessarily in the sense of like graphically detailed, which they were for, you know, 2001 with, you know, Grand Theft Auto 3, but detailed in the sense of everything felt purposeful while you're playing that in the world and interactive and whatnot, and their writing. And a lot of that being very much leaning into the idea of we have to make parody. Like, we have to, what what do people love to make fun of the most? And it's things that they know about, and it's things that they see every day. We need to lean into that and make this satirical version of what American society is. And, you know, you look at things like South Park, The Simpsons, Family Guy, that leaned into so many of those aspects for so long. Like, there's a reason why they've been around for so long, because people kind of, whether, I mean, I'm not the biggest Family Guy fan or anything like that, but, like, you know, there's a reason why people love watching those still, and it's because they find humor in the everyday things that they point at, that they point to say, like, yeah, this happens in our life too, but it's much more bombastic and satirical. But at the same time, you could see a little bit of truth that's hidden in there too at the same time. But that's really interesting to think about moving forward with after this article, and kind of, you know, looking into what Jason has said and, you know, the information he's gathered on what this game actually is with Grand Theft Auto 6. Obviously, it's a game that I feel very safe saying probably, if we're asking the general gamer, it's the most anticipated game of all time. I think it's more anticipated than, you know, obviously Elder Scrolls 6 for some people. I mean, me personally, I'm more invested in that. But games that you always, that so many people have been waiting for a long time, Half-Life 3 and things like that. Like, I think Grand Theft Auto 6 now is the most anticipated piece of potentially pop culture out there. Is it possible to make really kind of what Jason had brought up, and not in a way of, you know, yeah, you want to eliminate a lot of those punching down aspects, that if there's things that are blatantly racist or blatantly, you know, homophobic, that there's a difference between things that are, you know, jokes that can be made about the society and the world that aren't, you know, homophobic and things like that, that are, you know, worth making jokes at and things like that. There are those, but there's also, you know, the shit you just like, eh, we're kind of past that as a society. But in the same time, kind of having that gloves off approach, is it possible for Rockstar to really, do you think, might kind of catch lightning in a bottle again with another hit, given, you know, where our society is at right now? And, you know, looking back on a lot of things that Rockstar did, whether it's Grand Theft Auto, even, you know, Max Payne, Red Dead, you know, Manhunt, for Christ's sakes. I mean, that game's brutal. You know, things like that, that, do you think, with what made Grand Theft Auto so successful in the past, since a lot of that's changed a lot, is it possible for them to really have that same effect, and the same reasons why so many people have, you know, attached and clung to Rockstar games for so long?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where there's always going to be a market for certain things. And even when society starts to, you know, grow, go in different directions, whatever terminology you want to use for what direction society is going in today, I think that there's always going to be an audience for that type of content, because, quite frankly, there's a lot of people that can separate. There are people that can separate real life from art, if you want to call it that. I mean, I would argue that that's what it is. And
well, that's one of the biggest things, not to interrupt you, but that's one of the biggest things that I think so many people, and even myself, like, talking from experience recently, like, so many people are trying to learn, I think, is taking, you know, separating the art from the artist. Like, a band that I really like, Dance Gavin Dance, their new album comes out tomorrow, and it's been the shit they've been putting out. The first couple singles of it have been fucking great. Like, been on repeat for me kind of music. But their lead singer, who has now taken some time off and stuff like that, was accused of some, you know, sexual misconduct and things like that. And it's one of those things of, like, yeah, do I want to keep listening to this? Like, this music's great. His voice is great. The, you know, the dirty vocals that John Mess does, the screaming, like, that's on another fucking level right now. It's great. Like, their music is just on another level. But there's that part of me also that is like, yeah, you know, we don't know if this is true. Obviously, I'm more in the camp of, you know, I try to at least believe people at their word at first. And, you know, if that's actually happening, that's, you know, if that actually happened or whatever, yeah, that's horrible. And there needs to be repercussions for that and whatnot. But at the same time, you know, that doesn't reflect everyone in that band and what they put forward. Just like, you know, with Activision and Blizzard and all these games that we've loved for so long, that, you know, yeah, there's some shitty fucking things that have gone on. And I want to speak with my wallet and not participate in those games. But at the same time, I know that we're talking about probably less than 1% of that staff that actually were like that, when the rest are just hardworking, honest people who are just trying to create their passions. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you're speaking to, like, you're speaking my language right now.
Yeah, it's a tough line. It's definitely a tough line to really toe, in my opinion. I don't know so much that, like, changing the culture at the studio is going to be what affects the game in a negative sense. I think the thing that's going to affect this game negatively the most is the fact that they are pledging to not crunch. And the reason why I say that is I feel, you know, in my heart of hearts, I know that crunch is, like, just a really bad thing for everyone involved. I know, you know, there's a lot of stress involved. It costs people marriages, families, livelihoods. Like, it can do a lot of negative things to a lot of the individuals that are under that amount of stress to try to produce the best content that they can produce. But on the flip side of it, when we're headed to a world where hopefully there's no crunch. And, you know, it's getting to the point for me with the crunch conversation that, like, can games even come out fully functioning and working if they're not crunched? And the reason why I say that is, like, Halo Infinite, you know, has 6 years to be developed. And, you know, I know there was reportedly a bit of crunch there towards the end, but, you know, compared to Bungie's Halo 2 release. And I'm not trying to get into this conversation of, like, how bad do you want it as a developer? Because, again, I feel like people that might have worked at Bungie back in the day probably were miserable, but, like, people in society didn't really care. They weren't gonna change the American way, if you will. And, you know, Bungie put in a lot of work to release their games. There's stories about Rockstar back in the day crunching so hard to get their games out. And, you know, you get these quote-unquote full legendary type games from them. But, you know, there was a lot of sacrifice put out, you know, by the developers, who sacrificed, in some cases, almost everything to make that happen. And what I begin to become concerned with is not so much the fact that there isn't going to be crunch, or the fact that, you know, whatever, like, the fact that there's not going to be crunch is a net positive for the entire society. The thing I have a problem with is, you know, when you start to hear that there's too many chefs in the kitchen, you know, I think I've been somewhere where you never really knew who was calling the shots, and then no one's calling the shots. If you don't know who's calling the shots at a job, no one's calling the shots, basically, right?
Right.
And that type of comment is a bit more concerning to me in general. And having these bottlenecks where people are just sitting there with their, you know, sitting on their hands, essentially, waiting for answers to be able to continue their work. And obviously that's not the most efficient way to release a video game. But also it's concerning, because how long are we going to have to start waiting for games to come out? Because everyone wants to bitch and moan and complain about how long they're waiting for new games. But then everyone bitches and moans and complains about the lengths that studios were going in the past, were like how far studios were going in the past to hit these deadlines. And at the end of the day, are deadlines, you know, mostly superficial? There's some situations where I don't really think CD Projekt Red had a say in it. I think they had a lot of pressure from investors to release that game when they did, even though it wasn't ready. And, you know, that was one that wasn't a superficial deadline. But a studio like Rockstar doesn't have to adhere to deadlines. They just really don't. They're making enough money off their other games that it doesn't really matter. So pushing a game back doesn't really affect anyone. But then there's also the people that already cry enough about how long they've waited for a new GTA, but those are also the same people that are going to whine and bitch and moan and complain whenever the studio goes, you know. And it's never the studio execs that make the call to crunch that are the ones that are suffering. So I don't want to, like, act, you know, like I'm pro crunch or anything at this point in time. I'm just saying that you can't have it both ways. And society, in my opinion, has done a lot of good growing in the past few years as far as like accountability culture, mm-hmm. And things of that nature. But at the same time, we're heading down a dangerous road where there are going to be sections of society that like, it's like the saying in physics that for every action, there's an equal and opposite mm-hmm. reaction. And that's the point I've been making to some of my other friends who are, you know, way over the top with like the cancel culture is, you know, quite frankly, because I'm for accountability culture. I'm for people learning. And, mm-hmm. you know, if your actions were heinous enough, then, yeah, there's going to be some sacrifices. You're going to lose some of your livelihood. And it's probably fair. Right. But
if you rape, murder, et cetera, well, do that to somebody.
Yeah.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, if you're doing something that heinous or something that maybe not physically that heinous, but is that heinous where you're actually ruining somebody's life or doing something that is, you know, unfounded. Yeah. You deserve to get your fucking like shit kicked in metaphorically. Probably physically, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
probably figuratively that's not, too, but
that's definitely not like I know Generation Z is not so much about that, if you will. But I'm a little bit more old school.
Yeah,
I think you should get your ass kicked for that. Yeah. But again, like, would Bobby Kotick still do the same shit if he got his fucking face robbed? He'd probably do the same fucking thing the next week.
Right.
But my main point is like, for every bit that and for how far that society wants to push one direction, mm-hmm. eventually it's going to correct. And I just am afraid that it's going to wind up correcting way in the wrong direction because it's too fast. And I know that people are going to say it's not fast enough. Society isn't moving fast enough that, mm-hmm. you know, in 2022, we shouldn't be having certain things happen. But I'm telling you, like, society as a whole, the baby boomers aren't dead yet, and they're not ready to give up their ways. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people that are older than us that are a lot like the baby boomers, right. and they're not ready to give up their ways. And they aren't going to go down, like, they're not going to go with the flow of society because they don't agree with it. But mm-hmm. If you give people time to digest, and you give people time to learn and grow, then that's one thing. But like, just deciding one day that, you know, you tell some person from the country in West Virginia about LGBTQA plus whatever, you know, however long that acronym is what they always want to say.
Right.
Like, they don't want to accept that because you're telling them one day what's right and one they feel like you told them one day what's right and one mm-hmm. day what's wrong, when in reality we've been moving in this direction since probably 2015, like seriously moving in this direction,
right? Where
like,
where you're actually seeing widespread reverberations now finally.
Yeah And like, this is all a long convoluted way of saying like they're GTA and Red Dead are successful for a big reason, and you can't strip games down to you know, adhere to Weenie Hut General. Like, you just like, there's right and there's wrong. Like, I wasn't gonna do it, but I'm gonna go on a little bit more of a tangent. Like, this bullshit about teabagging and video games being sexual harassment, come the fuck off of it. Nobody agrees with, I'm sorry, but like, if you agree with that, if you see your body getting teabagged in Valorant, which you can turn the dead bodies off, by the way, mm-hmm. and you are triggered by that, you are spitting directly in the face of like people who have actually been sexually assaulted or sexually harassed in real life. It's not the mm-hmm. same thing. You need to be able to strip yourself away from the video game. You need to be able to strip yourself away from the media that you're consuming. And if you're not able to do that, you're probably not responsible enough to be consuming the media that's affecting you anyway. Mm-hmm. And that might be the hard truth, but it's just the truth that like, if we continue to trend in this direction, it's going to get way too crazy with this shit. And I don't want, like, you shouldn't be able to go into GTA 6 and go rape and pillage and mm-hmm. do all that kind of shit. Like, it's not, I don't even, they didn't really do that back in the day.
No,
but like, you certainly the worst
you were, for the most part, outside of the hot coffee
mod.
Like,
I think you could pay for
hookers.
Yeah.
That was probably the worst that you think you could do. You didn't see any of it outside of the hot coffee mod in San Andreas. Like, outside of that, though, it was like, yeah, you pick up a hooker, she takes $50 off of you, and the car rocks back and forth. And that's
yeah. and that's like PG. That's actually probably like rated G compared to what, no matter what country you're in, what your government officials are doing, and they're making people do it for free. Mm-hmm. So realistically speaking, that's kind of where my feelings are, is like, I agree that some things could be stripped out of these games to make them a little bit more digestible. But if, again, video games aren't made for everyone, if it triggers you, if it bothers you, then don't watch it. And this isn't like, I don't want people to go down slippery slopes and start thinking that I'm talking about like snuff films or shit like that. Like, oh, you can't watch someone get their wrist slit, so don't do it. And like, shut the fuck up, that you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about serious matters like that. I'm talking about specifically what people create in a video game, because I'm part of the belief system that, like, I don't think comedians who just roast people are funny necessarily. In fact, I really don't think stand-up comedians are funny mainly at all. A lot of them are really gimmicky. They use, like, there's times to use swear words, and I love to swear a lot, but like, half the comedians I feel like that are super popular in stand-up just swear the whole time, and it's really not funny.
Yeah.
And there's a fine line between being funny and not being funny, but like, I don't sit here and verbally attack everyone who watches stand-up comedy, but like, it's an art form, and I feel like society is heading down a really dangerous path, at least in America, that we are going to start really stepping on the toes of what, there's a difference between like what freedom of speech really is in America and what art forms are and what people should and shouldn't be allowed to do. And I feel like society is getting way too close to blurring those lines to where a lot of that type of media, whether it be comedy, music, whatever, that type of stuff is in danger, in my opinion, of suffering greatly. And it shouldn't be that way, because it's never been that way before. And I know some people might say, well, it's never been that way before, so why should it be? But then you start going down the path of like, how much is enough? Like, how much is enough? Are you going to stop me from calling someone an idiot? So what am I supposed to call them then? A stupid head? Like, how far are you really going to go before all this ends? And that's where I could see a lot of concern. But this is all a super long, convoluted answer of saying, like, I still think no matter what Rockstar does, they have earned the status of literally videotaping or audio recording one of their executives having explosive diarrhea, putting it on a disc, and people are going to pay $60 for it. It just doesn't matter, because it's Rockstar.
Yeah.
And that's where they're at. So it doesn't really matter. Is it going to be a masterpiece? Is it going to be an all-time classic? That remains to be seen. I think that type of discussion is when you start to get into the, how much is this game going to suffer from all of that? And it's not even just no crunch. It's not just accountability culture. It's not just censoring yourself to appease the masses. It's all of it thrown into a cauldron and boiled, because that's what you're going to wind up getting. Just one of those factors, it could be cause for concern for people. But I know, at the end of the day, Rockstar is going to find a way, because they always seem to find a way to elicit purchasing from a lot of people. And I never beat Red Dead 2, and I've never really played the Grand Theft Auto games, because it's just not my jam. Like, and that's okay. But like, I'm not going to be mad at someone else, you know, if that's what they like.
Right.
And, you know, I will surrender the floor to you.
No, man.
You're free to go now, but it does boil down to a concern. If it was one of those things, like, or two of those things, if it was, you know, workplace environment and crunch being removed, I'm still 100% no sweat. GTA 6 it's still gonna sell gangbusters, like I said, even if someone was just audio recorded, you know, having some extreme bowel movements, it wouldn't matter. But when you start to add in censoring yourself and this and that and the other thing, like, it's going to get to the point where when is it too much? When are there too many barriers for you to succeed? And GTA 6 won't be what suffers. But this is all to say, like, this is where the live service games are really beginning to rear their ugly head, because people want to bitch and moan and complain about Halo Infinite and the lack of content there. People want to bitch about all the other games that have come out recently with the lack of content. Well, if there's no crunch and, you know, they're censoring themselves, guess what's going to happen with GTA 6? There's going to be a lack of content whenever the release date is, unless they make it 10 years. And then you're going to bitch about waiting 10 years, which it's already been, it's already fucking almost been 10 years. So you're going to bitch about waiting 15 years. And, you know, if they're going to release it and it's not going to have anything with it, because that's the nature of it. There's the games are way too complex and way too complicated now in the development cycle. It's not like Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3, where a studio of 12 people and Ed Boon being one of the primary coders did everything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many hands that have to touch this nowadays. There's so many hands that this goes through. And it's going to be an empty content release game, and people are going to bitch and moan and complain about it. And that's going to be the way gaming's going to be for the foreseeable future, until they figure out what's happening with crunch and how they can really work around and maximize their capabilities while working within all these constraints. And again, I don't agree with crunch. I don't think it's a good thing, but it's something for you to think about. Do you think the developers of old classic games, and it's a different world again, mm-hmm. I want to reiterate, it's a different world nowadays, but do you think Ed Boon was calling it quits after 7 hard hours? No, those guys that made Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 were there for probably 12, or Ed Boon for sure was probably there for 12, 13, 14 hours. But the problem is, the game development studios aren't run by people like that anymore. It's run by the fat pigs that don't even do shit. Look at Bobby Kotick. Mm-hmm. That guy's a fucking legend. Look at him. He's probably never lifted a weight once in his life. And mm-hmm. he's a fat slob, piece of shit, absolute scumbag of the earth. But he's calling all the shots at Activision. So it's not the people that are actually working on the game calling the shots anymore, which I think is where the biggest problem is with development studios nowadays, because it's true with 343, it's true with EA, it's true with everyone. It's not the people who are making the games on a day-to-day basis aren't in roles of leadership, and you can tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and there's a really interesting conversation that's to be had with creative mediums, and I think people who are creative, and it's that line of like, well, at what point is, you know, what you're doing, your work and your passion and your hobby kind of like blend? It's yeah. that idea of like, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about, well, I worked on this for a long time, but at the same time too, they're also wanting to have that work-life balance. And I'm right there with you. Fuck crunch. I'll always stand by fuck crunch. I will stand by employees. I will do that. Is I'm an employee first person. That mm-hmm. I'm all for unions, that as long as they're done in the proper manner, like,
we've had enough shitty jobs where
right,
it's like,
right. So, and it's to the point where, you know, I will always stand in the, you don't have an employer without the employees to begin with. So, mm-hmm. Those are the people, everyone's a human. You need to take care of them. Yada, yada. You get what I'm saying. But a lot of creative mediums, especially like when we're talking about different departments within game development, like art and things like that, where people are toying after hours, people are working on passion projects, people are working on, you know, things that are, you know, hey, I want to take this home from the office and work on. I like, as somebody who's like messed around with 3D art and things like that, like there's been a couple of days where like, one, it's like classes and things like that, but I end up working on it for like 12 hours. Like I start mm-hmm. in the morning in between stuff at work, yada yada. I bring it home when my wife goes to bed. Like maybe I'm not playing video games and I am working on that. Like, because I'm like, I have that creative bug right now and like I want to keep going on it. I don't want to let it go, kind of thing. And it's trying to find a way to do that and balance it. And it's hard to tell people sometimes, hey, don't do that. Like you don't do that. Don't pick that back up. Let it go for the night. Yada yada. Like it's hard to kind of do that at times. And I could see where people are a little hesitant to kind of say like, okay, well, you know, the reason why we had so much success was because, you know, you'll hear a lot of, you know, granted, studio heads, so it's like, okay, take it with a grain of salt, but some of those studio heads were in positions when these original games, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto 3, 4, you know, Vice City, GTA 5, like Red Dead 2, like some of these games that people were on the front lines for developing and are now in executive positions, that they talk about, like, you know, as much as it sucks, like, the game really came together in the last 3 months, and it was during crunch, like, or that, you know, we got our best work done during that. And that's not a good thing, but it's a thing where I can at least say, like, well, you know, if it's coming from the horse's mouth kind of thing, it's kind of all our, you know, also hard to say, like, you know, I didn't make this game. If they feel that's where it came from, you know, it's trying to find new practices that you can eliminate that, but also get the same objective done and the same, you know, get the same quality of product. And that's, you know, this is really going to be like the first time this has happened kind of thing. Because we haven't really seen too many studios outside of, like, you know, Riot Games has been pretty vocal about, you know, some of the course of, you know, actions they've done to change their course of being a very hostile work environment. And, you know, both from a sexual standpoint, from a, you know, verbal standpoint, things like that. Like, it's, they've been changing a lot of things they've done. Granted, not perfect. There's still stuff that's come up. But over the past few years, there's, you know, they've been very vocal about the things they've done, and it seems like things have actually changed, but they're doing games as a service, so it's a little different compared to, hey, we're making this product that is technically in the box, complete, put on a shelf, and if we don't touch it technically ever again, it's done. Like, that's okay, because it's done. Like, this is a single, technically can be a single player game. Like, Grand Theft Auto is, yeah, you could play the game forever, technically, like, if you want to. And with GTA Online, same with Red Dead and Red Dead Online, like, you could still keep playing and all this stuff, but, like, there was a set campaign and story, quest, whatever you want to call it, in that game. And you are playing that as somebody who is a single-player person, like, sitting down to play this game. There is an objective within that game that you can't complete. And if there was no online component with that, that would be a complete in-the-box game, like, good to go kind of thing. And that's where it's really interesting, where there aren't these deadlines of, like, yeah, there still are, but it's more rolling with live service games where people are logging on to play the game all the time for the game loop itself, and where there's smaller objectives, but these objectives are all, like, you're playing, you know, it's deathmatch, like, something like that. You're playing that multiple times, like, it's built for quick, fast-paced, boom, 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 where a single-player game is built for once to usually experience one specific story. You're sitting down, you're investing time in the world. There's a lot, there's just different avenues that you need to go through, and the development cycles probably are a little bit different on each one. Granted, not a game developer, game development is incredibly hard, and I, you know, I haven't made AAA games, so who knows? But from what I take from this stuff, at least in my opinion, you know, there are some different avenues that all these go down. So it will be interesting to see, like, okay, like, there were different ways to their, you know, the synergy that was done from a logistics standpoint in terms of the actual work that's being done on this game. You know, what's going to come of that? And me personally, I've always had the stance of, because it's very much, at least in that aspect of it, take away the frat boy culture and all that shit, that, like, that shit, fuck that shit, get it out of there. Like, everyone needs to clean house with that shit. You should be going into work. I don't care who the fuck you are. If you go into a job, no matter what you do in life, really, a job shouldn't matter, but you go in to do your job, like, you shouldn't have to worry about, shit, I'm a woman and I'm going to have somebody come out here and fucking flip their dick onto my desk. And, you know, as a joke or something like that.
I don't mean to giggle, but,
like, no, but, yeah, but that shit,
I'm just
that you,
picturing some, like, grubby fuck doing that.
Right.
Like,
but that's
what, like, you, Bobby Kotick.
Right. But that's what you hear, like, people fucking do, like, the out of the Blizzard stuff, or, like, you know, sending around nudes of a woman as a joke or whatever that were sent out, and she kills herself. Like, it's, yeah, shit like that. Like, nobody should have to fucking deal with that, whatever they do in life, but especially when they go to goddamn work, because nobody fucking wants to go to work to begin with. Like, nobody wants to, I don't live to work, I work to live. So, like, you know, I don't want to go and deal with that shit on top of that. Like, you get what I mean? So, like, point being, like, fuck that shit, get out of there. What I'm talking about is more or less, like, the actual, like, if people want, you know, the employees better taken care of from a logistical standpoint in terms of their actual work and what they're doing and getting done in their pipeline and, you know, whatnot. It's like the conversation around the price of video games where, you know, to be honest, if you want these bigger bombastic games with more detail and things like that, like, and especially too, where the one industry that hasn't kept up with inflation, like, has been video games in a positive way, where we should probably have been paying $70 about 10 years ago for a video game. And it's been, the industry has kept it to $60 up until recently, but has kept it to that $60 mark for a long fucking time where, you know, well, if you want all these things, you know, games are getting more and more expensive. It's not crazy to, you shouldn't be completely shocked when you're asked to pay $70 for a game instead. Okay, well, if you want devs to be, if you want these games to come out and, you know, devs to be treated appropriately, which I do, and I'm okay with saying, cool, I'm okay with this game coming out once every 8 years. That's fine. If this expansive game that they're making or whatnot, to me, I'd rather take that trade-off. I'll play something else. There's way too many fucking games to begin with. Like, there's too much shit for me to play. So, like, I'm okay with that personally. And I just put, me personally, I'd rather see, hey, I'm making a living making games and, you know, yeah, I'm working 40 to 50. Yeah, there's going to be overtime. Don't get me wrong. But as long as they're being paid appropriately and they're not forced to do overtime or like, hey, you need to do this or you're fired or you're getting sued or whatever. Like, you're breaching this contract where and we're going to sue you for not, you know, oh, you can't go to your kid's fucking bar mitzvah or whatever. Like, you know, that whatever family events, like, no, you got to, you know, you got to put in your 60 hours this week because of that. No, like, it's stuff like that, that it's like, okay, well, I'm okay with waiting 7-8 years for this game to come out if that's the case. So it's a very interesting conversation, and especially too from the standpoint of Rockstar, of they've made games for such a specific way, in such a specific way for such a long time, to such grandeur success. Will that translate? And I personally, I'm with you, I personally think it will. I think we're going to see this game. It's like, you could put it out. They could, realistically, if this article never came out and they just put out a trailer and said, hey, Grand Theft Auto 6 is happening and it's happening tomorrow, it would sell, you know, 100 million copies in the first month. Like, it'd be over. Like, it'd be the best-selling game of all time. And easily still, no matter what. But it's, you know, if it's going to take a little longer, I just think that only, if you ask me, that's only going to help the game. Like, I think that only builds anticipation. Like, now that we know about this game and know it's real, I mean, not that anybody ever thought, like, oh, we're never getting another Grand Theft Auto. Like, no, you're going to get some kind of Grand Theft Auto, whether it's a, you know, you're getting just a standalone platform now that Grand Theft Auto is the single player and GTA Online mushed together, like, and you're just getting Grand Theft Auto the platform. Yeah, but I still think we get that, you know, that's at least another Grand Theft Auto title that I expect we're going to get, a new box copy or whatever. But, you know, to me, these behemoths that you have, like this, like Elder Scrolls 6, like Half-Life 3, like these things that, like, should, like, that are, we know they're going to come out. Half-Life's going to come out. There's going to be another fucking Half-Life game at some point. May not be Half-Life 3, but we know it's going to be, or marked on the box Half-Life 3, but it's, we're going to get a quote-unquote Half-Life 3 at some point in some time. And stuff like this with these behemoths, it only builds and builds and builds. Like, this will happen no matter what. Same with, you know, Blizzard putting out whatever whenever they were at the level that Rockstar was at. Like, stuff like that, that's only going to long-term help them, if you ask me. Like, that's only going to make the fervor for this more and more and more. Now, if they take 20 years to come out, yeah, I think you're going to lose a little bit and be like, okay, the game's going to fucking fall off at that point because they didn't get anything. But I would be shocked if this game, even if it came out 3-4 years from now, doesn't completely crush every sales regard in every category in sales statistics in video games. It doesn't completely crush it. It could be rated AO and it'd still do all that. Like, that's just what it is. And I'm with you, Mike. I'm not a Grand Theft Auto guy. Like, I played them much more than you have, but, like, I'm much more of a Red Dead guy. Like, I'm much more of an Elder Scrolls guy compared to Fallout. I still love those games. I still play these games. Like, I really enjoy them. But, you know, if I had to choose between one of them, I'm a this kind of guy. I'm a Red Dead guy. I'm an Elder Scrolls guy, like, compared to a Fallout or GTA. But, like, that doesn't mean that, like, I'm not anticipated. Or, like, this game isn't anticipated for me. Like, this game is just going to come out, and it's going to absolutely dominate everything. And me personally, this is the kind of article I want to make. Like, this to me, put, like, these kind of articles, and sure, it's not perfect. I'll take articles like this reading every week, comparatively. Like, this is the first time that, let's put it this way. This is one of the very few times on this show that we read some of these articles. And yeah, we'll get some positive news and we'll get some things that are happening or some statements that are made that, hey, you know, we're doing this, we're doing XYZ to improve things. This is probably one of the few times that I feel comfortable saying this, Mike, coming on the show, reading an article that we actually see like, hey, we've done this. We've done this. It's been going for 4 years now. We've done X, Y, and Z. We're doing this. And this is the result of this. This is like, sure, they don't have the game out yet, but hey, we've had employees working for us for 4 years under different, very different fucking conditions. This is the results. This is what people are saying. And they're actually, you know, the fact that people are coming out and the vast majority are saying, yes, this is a better place to work now. We don't get that very often. This is the first time we've finally gotten something like that. That, like, restores my faith in this industry a little bit. I don't know. Maybe that's just me talking, but, like, I'll take that shit. And, you know, you brought up a good point about, in terms of, you know, the satirical end and whatnot. And, you know, yeah, it all comes down to context of what I believe in. It all comes down to context. Yeah. And if you, there are people who deserve heinous shit done to them. But I'm more in terms of they did heinous shit and they deserve to get canceled and this and that. Yes, I'm more like you, Mike. I'm in the camp of accountability culture where somebody fucks up that they did something and it isn't earthbreaking. It doesn't physically hurt somebody, mentally hurt somebody, you know, in a regard that is truly damaging to them. And they're showing remorse and they're showing, hey, I've been working on this for the past year or two, like, this is where I've come now. That's not the person I was. Like, doing and trying to become a better person, I'm in that camp. I want people to become better. Yes, there is heinous shit that people have done that is, you know, irreparable, or they need to just fuck off, go to jail, put them, you know, be in jail, whatever. Like, that kind of thing. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, it's just like this, like with the context of what these games are doing, in the same regard, like, it comes to content of it. And yeah, sure, let's not do like straight up homophobic shit, like, or let's not just do fucking racist shit in the game. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm all for that. Let's move away from that. That's fine. I'm cool with not doing that. Like, I think a lot of people are cool with not doing that. And if you are cool with doing that, like, even if it is in a very, very poor tasting joke and you're okay with that, then you have a bigger, like, that says more about maybe you than the fucking game or whatever. Like, then you need to work on yourself kind of thing. But, you know, moving away from that stuff, but also do, too, like, you look at South Park or something like that and them focusing more on the political satire and things like that that aren't necessarily like, social satire and things like that that are more, you know, that are much more problematic now to do. You know, I think they found ways to keep going and keep going and keep going, you know, how many years later now, you know, 20 years later down the road or whatever, like, there's a reason because they've adapted that. You know, I think that can be done with Grand Theft Auto. To what degree that we see that at? But I think Red Dead's a really good, and maybe it's just because I've just recently replayed it, and it's fresh in my mind, but, like, seeing the writing of that, and, like, kind of thinking about this article whenever I was first reading it yesterday, that I was thinking of Red Dead, and I'm like, you know, this is still a Dan Houser game. This is still a lot of the long-term writing staff within Rockstar who's writing this, and sure, Red Dead is much more of a, or Red Dead, especially 2, well, 1 and 2 are very different games to some degrees, but where one was still much more satirical of Western, but two being much more realism built into it, but still having satirical, you know, aspects to it, or parody even. I thought it leaned more into that parody and then satire of it. And I thought, you know, okay, the writing's still great in this. Can they tell, like, can Grand Theft Auto maybe, does it need to be necessarily, you know, dick jokes or boner jokes or, you know, and prostitutes running around or anything? Can it be more like, why can't we get something like a crime thriller that's built into Grand Theft Auto? Where, yeah, you could still have some humor, some, you know, lightheartedness or something like that. Like, you could still, like, have the satire in it, but Red Dead has that, but also has a pretty deep and compelling narrative to it. Like, where I'm feeling a lot of emotion when reading, or when playing this game. Where I'm seeing ways that Arthur is interacting with people. I'm seeing the way that Arthur's contemplating his life and talking about, you know, peeling back this idea of him being, yeah, I'm this I have to be this grizzled man to so many people in this, but really, right now I'm fucking afraid. Like, I'm scared. I don't know what to do kind of thing in mortality and dealing with all this stuff. And it's like, if that can be done in-house with the same people working on this game for the most part, why can't that transition to Grand Theft Auto? Why can't Grand Theft Auto mature? Why can't Grand Theft Auto take, you know, a step into realism? And yeah, maybe realism will get a little sketchy, and there are some things that maybe they want to try to tackle that may be problematic. And sure, if it's truly bad, problematic, I don't want any part of it necessarily with the game. But, you know, if they're trying to send a message and, you know, maybe try to figure out ways to shed a light that is satirical, but also sheds a light on, hey, this is what police violence is doing right now. And yeah, this may be, you think it's funny or whatever, but this is how it's really going on right now. Like, shining a light on, oh, you think that's funny? That's actually what's going on right now. Like, things like that. Like, it's very complex the more I think of it, but it's just, it's fascinating to see what's going to become of this game. And, you know, like I said, I'm all for the fact that if this game takes, you know, it's already going to be at least a decade since the original version of Grand Theft Auto 5 released. It could take, you know, realistically, if you want to count probably the previous gen, like the Xbox One, PS4, PC versions of this game to be the true release, even of like, yeah, this was the most played version of this game kind of thing. You know, sure, do you want to take it at least being 10 years since the game came out between titles? You know, I'm okay with that. Like, and if it takes a little bit longer, I'm okay with that, because that means I know that crunch isn't happening. I know that there's actual culture change and people aren't being, you know, threatened or aren't being felt, you know, having to deal with sexual advances or anything like that that are unfounded. And, you know, it's just stuff like that. Like, if that's what it means and I got to wait for a video game to come out, I'm fucking great with that. So, anywho, Mike, I think we tackled a lot of deep shit today in a good way. I thought, no, and I think that's, I'm glad we have sometimes these conversations come up, because I think they're important conversations to have. And I'm glad it, at the end of the day, I think this is good from what we're seeing. Like I said, I'm all fine if, I wish we had more articles like this come out and say, yeah, it's not perfect now, but we're seeing a lot of advances forward. We're seeing steps forward and we're not seeing steps back. Like, we're seeing better shit happen in this industry. And it's coming, and especially too, it's coming from a pillar in this industry of Rockstar. Like, one of the biggest pillars, one of the most well-known entertainment developers, really, who released one of the biggest entertainment properties in the world. Like, that speaks volumes. That it really says, okay, if Rockstar can do it, you have no excuse that anybody else shouldn't be able to do it. Like, in terms of these big, like, these huge corporations, we're talking Ubisoft's, EA's, you know, what have you, these ones that have multiple subsidiaries between them, multiple development studios between them, where communication is very, you know, scattered at times throughout. Any, if they can figure it all out, you can figure it all out. Like, get it done kind of thing. So, anywho, Mike, I think that's going to do it for our episode this week. So why don't you tell people where they can find you online, talk about all we talked about today, GTA, Rockstar, all that good stuff, and everything we really talked about with going on and just being a better person, we hope. Where can people find you on the internet to talk about all the nerdy stuff we talked about today?
Yeah, you can find me on Where the Bluebird Sings.
Shout out.
At T-O-Y-S-X-L-D-I-E-R. That's Toy Soldier, and the second O is an X. or you can find me on Twitch at MP_ToySoldier.
Nice, nice. And as always, I'm your host, Travis White, a.k.a. Travelus, on most internet platforms, including at Travelus_ on Twitter. That's TRAVLESS_. You can also find me streaming time to time on twitch.tv/Travelus_, same as Twitter. And if you want to play some games with me, you can do so at just regular old Travelus, pretty much on any platform, but specifically Xbox Live, just TRAVLESS. Play some games with me. Add me on there. And this, ladies and gentlemen, has been your newest episode of the Game Pass Gamecast, your weekly go-to podcast for all things Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, and of course PC gaming, including news, rumors, and conversation around them damn good video games. You can catch new episodes of the show when they drop each and every Friday morning on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and all other major podcast services. So be sure to subscribe to us, rate us, review us, all that jazz wherever you get a podcast at, and follow us on Twitter at GPGC Podcast to stay up to date with everything regarding the show, video games alike, and our dope giveaways. Mike, that being said, that's going to do it for episode this week. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening, sharing, and being a part of our growing community. If you take anything out of today's crazy episode that we have, be better to each other. Just be better in general. Learn, be better every day that you can. You know, take steps forward to being better in any aspect of your life, but specifically just be a better person to everyone. So treat everyone like humans and treat preschool shit. Treat everyone as you would like to be treated. So, like I said, it's going to do it for episode this week. Thank you everyone so much for listening, sharing, and being a part of our growing community. Game on, wash your hands, listen to doctors, Black Lives Matter, and we will see you next one.